broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the network by demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by using the podcast app wherever you get your favorite podcasts. All right, this week we're going to run down some of the latest news with Rob Dreesland from Outdoor News. I got a number of topics that I read about in the latest issue of Outdoor News that I want to get his opinion on, from the potential for Mille Lacs catch and release season this year to the potential duck season regulation changes, a whole bunch of things that I want to hit him up with. So I'm going to pepper him with a bunch of questions this week as we also talk about the new location for the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic this year that's coming up March 13th, 14th, and 15th, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. So we'll get all the details about this year's event coming up with Rob Dreesland here in a little bit. Also, Joe Henry will be joining us from Lake of the Woods Tourism to talk about what's going on up at Lake of the Woods, and then to talk a little bit about spring fishing and shelter removal dates and things like that, and how border waters are different than the rest of the state. This week's show brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism, of course. Get ready for spring fishing on the Rainy River. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. By Haybale Heights Campground Resort on Devil's Lake. Man, Curtis, there's a picture of Curtis Blake from Haybale holding just a giant, giant perch on the Haybale Heights Facebook page. Check him out. You can do some fishing out of a snow bear for perch and walleye at Haybale Heights and Devil's Lake. By Tazen Lake Lodge in northwest Saskatchewan. If you're in Duluth or even the Twin Cities or some of the other area newspapers, had an article about an angler from Duluth that's going to come up to Tazen Lake this summer. Go to TazenLake.com to find out more about that lodge, and then join us at the Northwest Sports Show April 2nd through the 5th. Also at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation will be there at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest with a booth. That's March 13th and 14th in Minnetonka. Go to MidwestWildSheep.com for more details about that show. Also brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters. We'll be guiding spring snow goose hunts in Minnesota this year. Go to MidmigrationOutfitters.com. Come and join us. Brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. We're taking a little break for a couple of weeks, but brand new episodes will return to Pioneer PBS coming up. We also just shared a recent episode on our Facebook page where we went pheasant hunting near Austin, shot our birds real quick. We also went walleye fishing down by Albert Lee. And then we also learned about Crow River Trail Guards. I believe that's by Painesville. That was a really cool story about what some kids are doing there. And then we also learn about what you can plant along your shoreline. If you're living along a lake or got a cabin along a lake, what should you plant there to protect soil health and water health? Watch it now at prairiesportsman.org. And of course, brought to you by the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic, March 13th, 14th, and 15th at Canterbury Downs. Time now for What's New, brought to you by Prairie Sportsman, the Emmy Award-winning show based on Pioneer PBS. Find out where you can watch the show at prairiesportsman.org, or watch the episodes now at prairiesportsman.org on YouTube or on our Facebook or Instagram. In Minnesota, there are some new deer feeding bans in effect as part of a chronic wasting disease prevention effort. The DNR will expand deer feeding bans in central Minnesota starting Monday, February 24th. They started them due to additional discoveries of chronic wasting disease in captive deer in late 2019. These new counties included in the deer feeding ban are Carlton, Chisago, Douglas, Isanti, Kennebec, Pine, and Pope. The deer feeding ban will remain in Stearns County due to the proximity to Douglas County. Starting July 1st, the DNR will remove the feeding ban from Kandiyohi, McLeod, Meeker, Renville, and Wright counties, as chronic wasting disease was not detected in any wild deer in the third consecutive year of wild deer disease testing in central Minnesota. A deer attractant ban will remain in the following counties: Aiken, Cass, Crow Wing, Dodge, Fillmore, Freeborn, Goodhue, Houston, Hubbard, Mille Lacs, Morrison, Mower, Olmsted, Steele, Todd, Wabasha, Wadena, and Winona counties. So in counties where deer feeding is banned, people need to remove any grains, fruits, nuts, and other food that entices deer. Don't forget that turkey hunting licenses go on sale March 1st. No lottery this year. You can just buy your license, and you're going to need to buy new fishing and hunting licenses anyway, as your 2019 licenses expire Saturday, February 29th. So, reminder, you need to get a new license for hunting and fishing in 2020 now, pretty much. So, February 29th is when those expire. Here's what's new in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will accept applications for the 2020 elk hunting. For tags, they're available March 1st through May 31st. This fall marks the third elk hunt in state history. Some new fishing regulations will go into effect April 1st in Wisconsin. A suite of updated statewide, regional, and local Wisconsin DNR fishing regs will go into effect April 1st. You can find those on the Wisconsin DNR website. And then check this out. Permanent catfish, bow, crossbow, and hand fishing regulations will go into effect March 1st. New regulations aimed at providing sustainable bow, crossbow, and hand fishing opportunities for catfish starting March 1st in Wisconsin. Now here's your North Dakota Game and Fish Outdoors Report with our old radio pal, Doug Lear. It's brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground Resort on Devil's Lake.
North Dakota Game Wardens issued more than 2,300 citations last year. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. The Game and Fish Enforcement Division has tallied the number of hunting, angling, and boating citations for 2019, and failure to carry a license was the number one violation. Counties with the most violations were Ramsey, Williams, and McKenzie. The most common licensing violations included failure to carry license and hunting, fishing, or trapping without the proper license. The number of fishing violations came in at 475, included high numbers of exceeding the limit, aquatic nuisance species violations, and fishing with excessive lines. Prevalent boating citations included inadequate number of personal flotation devices, failure to display boat registration, and use of unlicensed or unnumbered boats. General violations included hunting on posted land without permission, loaded firearm in a vehicle, littering, and use of motor vehicles in restricted areas. The number one small game violation was using a shotgun capable of holding more than three shells, followed by failure to leave identification of sex on game and hunting in unharvested fields. Leading the big game citation list was tagging violations, along with chronic wasting disease violations and failure to wear fluorescent orange. And lastly, the top fur bearer hunting and trapping violations included harassing with motor vehicles, hunting or trapping in a closed season, and untagged snares. A full synopsis of all 2019 violations is printed in the February 2020 issue of North Dakota Outdoors, the North Dakota Game and Fish Department's official magazine. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
All right, thank you, Doug. I also want to thank a bunch of people. We just wrapped up a 9-day filming trip up to the Arrowhead of Minnesota for Prairie Sportsman. Don Walrath put up with us and our cameras for a couple of cold days on the Gunflint Trail chasing rainbow trout. We filmed some cool, cool stuff for the show there. Also, Brian Forsberg at Timber Trail Lodge put us up in one of his cabins for a few days there in Ely as we visited the Wolf Center, the Wolf Track Classic Sled Dog Race, and also the Crapola World Headquarters. You got to stop by and see Brian and Andrea. Try the cookies. Get an I Poop Today bumper sticker. Cool place, great people. We also stopped in to see Brett Ross at WELY, End of the Road Radio. It's always fun to get back in a radio studio, and this show has always had great listeners up there in Ely, listening at 94.5 FM. And Ryan Miller, we watched him compete in the Wolf Track Classic. Then we joined him for some dog sled and fishing with Bob Durr and Joe Friedmeier, where we jigged for lake trout, had a blast running around. We had the Bamboozle Pizza at the Vermilion Club, which is a giant, giant pizza. And we wrapped up the trip with a stop at Voyager Lodge on Crane Lake. They rent snowmobiles up there. So if you've always wanted a snowmobile up in northern Minnesota, but you don't own your own sled, call Jim or Gretchen Jansen up there at Voyager. They'll get you on some rigs, tell you where to go, probably tell you to get lunch at Mel George's because we did. Get the Cajun burger. It was amazing. And then watch for the deer to come up and ask you for a bite of that burger. It's a cool experience. Dylan Kerfman and Max Grabo did an excellent job capturing everything for upcoming episodes of Prairie Sportsman. So keep an eye out for those episodes. New episodes back March 22nd on Pioneer PBS. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Rob Dreeslein from Outdoor News about Mille Lacs' potential catch and release. Also, Lac Parle County landowner suing the county over their blockage of him trying to sell land to the DNR. Also, OSHA fined the DNR. That's such a sad story. And we'll talk about potential walleye limit changes. I'm going to pepper Rob with some questions coming up next on Sporting Journal Radio. Ice fishing season is here. This winter, plan a trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not only will you have the chance to catch their legendary perch, but this year, Hay Bale Heights has been catching big walleye after big walleye. And they're doing it from a mobile, comfortable snow bear. No matter how cold it is outside, you're warm and toasty on the inside. Learn more and book a trip today at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant, estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are, and there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Ryan Callahan, the conservation director at Meat Eater, and Laramie Sasquatch Miller from the Last of the Breed TV show. This year features a raffle for a stone sheep hunt, plus live music from national recording artist Shane Klaus both nights. Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com.
Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the network by demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by listening to the podcast. Now we're going to talk about an event coming up here in a couple of weeks that you're going to want to mark your calendar for and come out and say hi and check out some really cool stuff to talk about it. Rob Dreisline from Outdoor News joins us on the show right now. Rob, I know you're standing outside, so I appreciate you braving the colder temperatures to join us here on the radio show.
No problem, bro. It's always good to chat with you, my man.
Well, first off, I want to talk about the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. And then I want to, if we have time, I want to talk about a few of the things I read about in the latest Outdoor News. But first off, March 13th, 14th, and 15th, the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic at a new location this year, Rob.
Yeah, we're at Canterbury Park. You know, we've been on the fairgrounds for years, but we needed a bigger venue. So we're really excited to be at Canterbury in Shakopee. You can get all the details. mndeerclassic.com is our website if you want more information. But great lineup of seminar speakers again this year. And more exhibitors, just a bigger show. I'm really expecting great things. Weather shaping up well here, too, as we get into March.
So I know there's always been, it's mostly been everything inside. There's always a few things outdoors. Is that same kind of the way it's going to be run this year?
Oh, it's pretty much all inside. You know, they've got an expo center there, and during the summer, people are probably familiar. You have to walk outside to get into the main part of Canterbury. They actually have that covered up this time of year, so it's going to work out real great. People will be inside the whole time. That was indoor archery range, lots of activities inside for the kids, and two seminar stages again.
Now, I know, Rob, people are excited for my appearance there from 1 to 3 as the event opens March 13th at the Outdoor News booth, but a few people might be coming there to see Michael Waddell.
Yeah, just a few. He's great. He'll be there Friday and Saturday. Then Nick Munt, I believe, is there all day Sunday. And then I heard Michael might be there part of Sunday also.
Cool.
So, I mean, Mike, great guy from Bone Collector. I've gotten to know him the past couple of months. I saw him out at the SHOT Show in Vegas also and chatted with him a little bit out there. It's a real score to have him with us at this event. And I know he's going to bring in a big crowd. And it's just a great opportunity to meet this guy. He's a sweetheart of a guy. He's the real deal. from Georgia and just loves talking hunting with the rank and file public.
I'll tell you what, I've met him a couple of times and you never know what to expect when you meet somebody like that, because he's a pretty big deal. He's just about as big as it gets in the outdoor world. And I literally, I've had to have people, you know, separate us because he just wanted to sit and talk hunting, you know, and just like you down to earth, just a great, great guy. And people are like, hey, Michael, we have to go. Like we have a thing at this time, at this place, we have to go. He's like, oh, just hang out a minute. Just, we're talking, you know, and just, yeah, you're right. Just seems like just a great, great guy.
Yeah, he's a Southern boy. They like to talk. They can chat up a storm. And but there's a lot of ego in this business. I've always been pretty blunt about that. And it's irritating because, you know, it's hunting and fishing, folks. We're not curing cancer here. We're not launching rockets right into space. But he is not that way at all. And I really appreciate that about him.
And I'm excited about his appearance, but I'll tell you what, I was just looking at the information for the show, the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. I may be most excited about Neil Broughton coming.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, if you're a hockey person, you gotta love that. I'm not a big hockey person, I must admit. I've always been focused on hunting and fishing, and I'm more of a baseball guy. But I know a lot of people are excited to meet Neil, and I've followed him too over the years, even though I'm a casual hockey fan, and it's a big score to have him there.
Well, anytime you talk about former North Stars players, that's you're hitting the right notes here in Minnesota. Rob Dreisland, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the outdoor news. Deer and Turkey Classic, new location this year, Canterbury Park, Shakopee, March 13th, 14th, and 15th. And, of course, some of the things that people have expected, some of the favorite aspects to the show are going to be back again this year. Of course, Rob?
Absolutely. We got the kids zone. We've got a lot of the old war horses that are some of our past seminar speakers will be there also, and Melissa Bachman, Tony Peterson will be on hand. Jeff Fredericks, a great turkey hunting mind, will be at the show. And I can't stress enough, a lot of really great exhibitors and some new ones this year and more, too. People are going to really get their money's worth and be able to interact with a lot of exhibitors at this year's event.
The hunting public is going to be there this year.
That's right. Yeah. Another big score I'm excited about. That's something, we've been kind of talking about for a couple of years. And finally, we all agreed, show manager and the rest of us, let's bring these guys in. Some guys that have become, that are making a living in the hunting business with hunting videos, and yet I don't believe have ever been on outdoor TV.
Right.
These guys are doing it via YouTube. You want to talk about new media? A good bunch of guys. I wrote up a story about them in last week's paper. They're based in Iowa, but they're all from around the Midwest. And all they do is they go to generally public land hunting parcels in a different area, and they learn to hunt it. And quite often, they come out with some venison or some wild turkey. So, a neat bunch of guys that I think are really going to resonate with some other folks who are they're learning how to hunt and fish via YouTube and Instagram.
And, of course, you can bring antlers to get scored again this year.
You bet. We like to say that, the best part of the show is the folks who attend and bring their antlers from last fall. So bring your antlers in, get them measured. And, that's one reason we hold the show this time of year is because it's after the 60-day, dry down period. That's over. So you're going to get an official measurement and, maybe you got yourself a booker or a Pope and Young booker.
Well, and you can win some prizes by getting your antlers scored, of course, but here's even more incentive to come out early when the show opens up on Friday, March 13th. We're going to be there with Prairie Sportsman doing a story on antler scoring there at the show. So you might just get your antler scored on TV if you come out right away when the show opens.
That's perfect.
Friday.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing that, Brett.
Yeah. We're looking forward to come out there and being a part of it. Of course, Rob Dreisland, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. We're talking about the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic, March 13, 14, 15, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. And everybody's got trail cams nowadays. You have a trail cam contest as well?
Yeah, Eric Meyer started that last year, and a lot of people really enjoyed that. I saw him going through some of the entries here a couple days ago. So we'll have big banners and billboards full of some of these great trail cam images from around the region.
And everybody's got something interesting on trail camera. Whether it's Something humorous, something strange, a chupacabra, you know, something unidentifiable. But everybody has a picture like that, Rob.
Oh, you better believe it. Yeah, I keep thinking I'm going to play a prank on my dad with his trail cam. Or, you know, maybe I get a Bigfoot outfit or something and wander past his trail cam a couple times to freak him out a bit. I haven't done that yet, but who knows? Maybe we'll see some humorous ones at the Deer and Turkey Classic.
Oh, I bet that we will. All right, I want to take a quick break. I know you're cold, but hopefully you can stick around. I want to ask you a few questions because I was reading the latest outdoor news, and of course, I'm in western Minnesota by Lac Parle County, so that story continues to resurface. So there's more news about that I wanted to bring up. Of course, there's a story about Mille Lacs right on the front page. Everybody wants to know about Mille Lacs. And then there's some interesting things too. There's been a lot of discussion about that duck article that I wrote a couple of weeks ago in there, Rob. I don't know how much you've heard. I've heard from a lot of people, mostly positive, but there was a negative one in there that maybe we can discuss too and talk about what his concerns were over my suggestions. And then also about walleye limits. I learned a couple of things reading the article about walleye limits here in Minnesota in the latest outdoor news. So I want to touch on all those things if we can when we come back here on Sporting Journal Radio. More with Rob Dreisland from Outdoor News next.
The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan.
Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Ryan Callahan, the conservation director at Meat Eater, and Laramie Sasquatch Miller from the Last of the Breed TV show. This year features a raffle for a stone sheep hunt, plus live music from national recording artist Shane Klaus both nights. Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com.
If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Ice fishing season is here. This winter, plan a trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not only will you have the chance to catch your legendary perch, but this year, Hay Bale Heights has been catching big walleye after big walleye. And they're doing it from a mobile, comfortable snow bear. No matter how cold it is outside, you're warm and toasty on the inside. Learn more and book a trip today at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Now, Rob Dreisland from Outdoor News, talking about the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic, March 13th, 14th, and 15th, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. You can learn more about it in the latest edition of Outdoor News, which is available now, or I have the digital version. So I read it from wherever by opening up my laptop. I can read it because I'm on the road all the time, so it allows me to read it wherever. I really enjoy it. You guys just started that a year or two ago, Rob, is that right?
Yeah, probably 18 months ago, and it's got a pretty good following, and we're also launching a website that's just going to contain our fishing reports. If folks just want to pay for to read fishing reports, they can do that too. So that we'll be announcing that here in the next few weeks.
So I was able to just sit down and read the latest edition here today. Funny that there'd be a Mille Lacs story on the front page, since that is always front page material when there's something about Mille Lacs. And Sounds like catch and release this season again.
Yeah, no, we don't know that for sure. I think Javier did a pretty good job of explaining that, you know, that's the way it is looking. Yeah, now, you know, you never know. Could the commissioner get involved? Could even the governor get involved and say, no, we're not going to do this? But I don't know. I guess I don't see that happening with this governor. So if I were a betting man right now, I would say, you know, given the fact that we have the same quota that we did last year and that we killed a lot more fish, ice fishing on Mille Lacs this year, because that was one of the few places with good ice.
Yeah.
That puts the summer, the open water season, in a bit of a bind. And then we might very well be looking to catch and release all year, all open water season.
You know, gosh, we could dedicate a whole show just to this topic, I think.
Yeah.
We definitely don't have enough time.
Read Javier's story close. I mean, that one thing in there that irked me is they talk about exploitation rate, and for years it was 24%, and they decided that was too high. So it's like, okay, fine, if you think that's too high, but we're down to, I think, 11% exploitation rate in the bands. I think, according to Javier's story, we're advocating for 8%. That sounds a little ridiculous. You know, there's a lot of room between, you know, 11% and 24% that I would like to think. There might be some compromise, but it's frustrating. You know, people are catching fish. They think there's a lot of fish in the lake. There are a lot of fish in the lake, but I guess they're concerned that, you know, you're going to take too many. We're going to crash the population, kind of thing, with the spawning stock biomass especially.
Well, and I don't know. I've heard from a lot of people that fishing was really good there, and I saw some nice walleyes. I saw some skinny walleyes, which is an issue, of course, but I don't know. I think fishing has been ridiculously good there the last few years, so I was pretty surprised to see that it could be potentially catch and release again this year.
Right.
But then right under that was a story about Lac Parle County, which is another story that's boggled my mind a little bit. And the landowner who tried to sell to the DNR.
Yeah, willing seller.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How is that? You know, if you get to the root of this thing, how do you determine who I can sell my land to? How does that? I just think that's an issue in itself. But here's land that's not really good land for farming. It's adjacent to a wildlife management area already, so it would just expand that area in Lac Parle County, which doesn't have a lot of public land in it. And it was it was his selling it to the DNR. What the county voted it down, so now he's what, suing the county, Rob?
Yeah, that's the latest wrinkle. You know, this originally goes back almost a year ago. I at Pheasant Fest, I interviewed the commissioner about this, and again, kind of pressed her, why did they not appeal that to the Land Exchange Board? They probably could have won. The commissioners at the round table too also talked about this and made the point, well, we want to establish good relations with Lac Parle County and not have to go, you know, really push hard to make this happen. To me, when you got the political willpower to do it, you should just do it. But, you know, I guess that's why I'm not the commissioner of the DNR.
Right.
You know, so when now we're in a situation, landowner is suing, it's frustrating. I mean, Tori McCormick wrote that piece this week. You know, I'd encourage folks to read his story. I don't know why land has to be in ag for the sake of just being in ag, especially if it's marginal, right? Just so we can sell more seed, just so we can sell more fertilizer, just so we can sell more farm implements to put that land under the plow and justify it that way. Oh, it's got to be in ag. Well, if it's bad for ag, why not put it into set aside, put it into grassland to where it's good for water quality, where it's good for pheasants, et cetera, especially when we've got a willing seller. You know, this isn't the government coming in and trying to just take this land. I know I'm preaching to the choir with you,
right? Well, I know they're talking about wanting to have land available for family farms, and they want land for their kids if they want to start farming. I understand all that, but if this isn't land that's good for growing anything on, and the guy wants to sell it to the DNR, I don't see how you can stop a guy from doing that. But we could go on.
I would think he's got a pretty good legal case. I'll be real curious to see how this goes.
Right. Rob Dreisland, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. I was also surprised to read about OSHA finding the DNR.
Yeah. Tim Spielman and I talked about that a lot. You know, we've got our own little podcast radio show, and we talked about that. That feels a little like a kick in the teeth after, yeah, you know, they lose an officer. I mean, everyone felt bad. I mean, it was reported he wasn't wearing a life jacket. You know, also, I guess that the kill switch wasn't set up properly or something like that. But then they fined him almost $2,000 for not reporting it within 8 hours. They reported it within 12, so they were 4 hours late. The thing happened overnight.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It's like, yeah, come on. This is the kind of stuff that makes people mad about government regulations and gives all government regulations, some of which are good, a bad name, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about OSHA rules. Maybe they're, you know, someone smarter than me put them together and they exist for a good reason, I'm sure. But that one was like, come on.
Well, there's a couple of things. We're kind of running out of time. There was a couple more things I wanted to get at, including walleye limits and the duck season. I wrote this duck story after attending the roundtable in Outdoor News, and I heard from a number of people who supported my recommendations about implementing a teal season just as a compromise so that hunters can go out and duck hunt in September, and then guys like me that like to target late season mallards still have an opportunity to do so, at least around open water areas. And we're the only state in the Mississippi Flyway that doesn't implement the teal season. And like I said, for the most part, overwhelmingly positive, but had one person who was alarmed by my recommendations. So it's so hard to please everybody.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty good batting average there, Brett. I wouldn't sweat that.
No.
Yeah, I know. You know, I think you get some nasty comments on Facebook, but what are you going to do? That's trolls. That's all they do. They have nothing better to do but sit around and swipe. So I give you credit for pushing on that, and I think you should keep up the good fight.
Well, thank you very much. And I mean, if you're not making somebody mad, you're not doing your job, right? I mean,
that's right. Exactly. Yeah. If everyone's mad at you, you're probably right where you need to
be. That's right. Well, I wanted to talk walleye limits too, because I learned something in Outdoor News that I hadn't realized, that our walleye limits statewide hadn't been changed since like they were set in the 1950s or something, 1956. Is that right?
They're pretty darn old. Now, yeah, of course, we've got special regs on, you know, dozens and dozens, sure, of lakes around the state. So, but our state reg has been around a while. You know, we finally are tweaking that Mississippi River reg. I'm really happy about that. That kicks in pretty darn soon. So, you know, we're making progress. Yeah. I think, especially some of these other fish, burbot and panfish, I think we definitely need to crack down on those limits.
Panfish for sure. And, you know, mm-hmm, just the advancements in fishing technology, you know, you'd think you'd change the limits again since then. And I wanted to get on wolves, but we just don't have time. And we probably have to dedicate a whole show to talking about wolf management in this state. And obviously, you guys have been talking about it quite a bit in Outdoor News. So we'll just tell people to go read Outdoor News about the wolf management situation right now. But Rob, I'll let you get back into the warmth. I appreciate the time here on Sporting Journal Radio. We'll see you at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic, March 13th, 14th, and 15th, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. Rob Dreesline, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks for having me on, Brett. That website one more time is mndeerclassic.com.
All right, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism joins us next. We'll talk spring fishing on the Rainy River when we come back. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant, estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan. Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's
annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Ryan Callahan, the conservation director at Meat Eater, and Laramie Sasquatch Miller from The Last of the Breed TV show. This year features a raffle for a stone sheep hunt, plus live music from national recording artist Shane Claus both nights. Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com.
Ice fishing season is here. This winter, plan a trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not only will you have the chance to catch your legendary perch, but this year, Haybale Heights has been catching big walleye after big walleye. And they're doing it from a mobile, comfortable snow bear. No matter how cold it is outside, you're warm and toasty on the inside. Learn more and book a trip today at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Now we're going to head north to that big walleye factory called Lake of the Woods and Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how are things?
Hey, Brett, things are good. Thank you.
Congratulations on a couple of awards.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, we kind of a neat deal. We got a couple of awards. We got one award for a special event of the year with our, 2019 World Plowing Contest. And my goodness, if we didn't pick up another very prestigious award for niche marketing for our walleye wars we did with Devil's Lake last year. And so two real nice, I guess, accolades that just kind of tell us that we're doing some things right. And, it sure is neat to be able to market a destination or a natural resource that has a lot going for it. And, we got a lot of them in the Midwest. You cover a lot of them, Brett. And, we're very blessed to have so many good natural resources. And really for us, it's the education and certainly getting the awareness out there, which drives traffic to our region, which fuels our economy. But it's so much of it's education combined with awareness and how to reach the right kind of people. And it's pretty exciting because there's a lot of people out there that are getting into the outdoors that maybe aren't real avid, but by giving them the confidence, a little bit of education, you can see them turn the corner and really enjoy it.
Well, the Walleye Wars was obviously very fun. It was fun to watch via social media and pay attention to see between you guys and Devil's Lake. And of course, we have friends over on Devil's Lake, Haybale Heights, a couple legendary fisheries here in our region. And then the World Plowing Contest, what a unique event that you hosted up there. But I feel like we were snubbed for an award for weekly radio appearances to promote.
Yeah. there wasn't a category for it, man. So I wouldn't feel snubbed at all because there really wasn't the category. Because if there was, I know that darn well you would have taken it. And I'll say too, when you talk about, like a Lake of the Woods working with a Devil's Lake, North Dakota, obviously so many people look at us as competitors and in some ways we are, but I got to know Susie and of course Tanner Cherney and over at the Devil's Lake, and they're my colleagues in tourism, and two really, really quality people. And we became friends at sports shows and different media events and things. And I kind of said, geez, you guys, rather than being competitors, let's find a way to work together on something. And that's how Walleye Wars came about. And that was a mutual benefit. It reached millions of people. And by having the Facebook Live from the fish houses and things like that, I think it was kind of a fun day for people to tune in periodically.
Absolutely. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio from Lake of the Woods Tourism. How are things up at Lake of the Woods right now, Joe?
Things are good. End of February, and we got great ice as we've had all year, and fish are biting good. I say that always very carefully because, you can go to one group of fish houses in one part of the lake and they caught 45 fish today. And then you go to another group that's, a mile away and they caught, 15 fish today for four people and you got enough for a fish fry, but, so it changes. And it also changes based on weather patterns and systems that come through, changes on where you're fishing, changes on how good of an angler you are. Do you use electronics? Do you not use electronics? are you putting set lines down with bobbers and playing cribbage all day? I mean, you know, there's a lot of variables that determine how many fish people catch, but I can tell you this, is that overall, man, our resort fish cleaning houses are busy. Lots of fish fries are happening. A lot of people catching limits of fish. So it's been good. It's been really good. And, you know, it's kind of cool too. I mean, this is the time of year that we always try to get the word out that, hey, you know, Lake of the Woods, we have that extended season. I mean, you know, fish houses in the rest of the state, you know, obviously have to be coming off pretty quick. I know the walleye season in most of the state's closed. Up at Lake of the Woods, you know, our fish houses can be overnight on the ice through March 31st. And our walleye season is open to April 14th, and our pike season never closes. So we really have a lot of ice fishing left yet, you know.
And obviously, ice conditions are still pretty good. Did you lose some of the snow with some of this warmer weather?
Yeah, not too much. No, we were cold enough up there that we didn't lose too much, and we still have a lot of good snow for snowmobile, and trails are in great shape. And
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, Lake of the Woods Tourism, talking about Lake of the Woods, and with closing walleyes across the rest of the state and a lot of places, people got to get their fish houses off. What did you say, March 31st, you can keep them on out there?
Yeah, yep. It's you know, the rule is that you can keep fish houses on the ice overnight unattended. And that's kind of the rule. And so it's March 31st for us. So we get a whole extra month and, compared to many, and, it's makes a difference, but you know, we're so far north that, you know, we do have thicker ice typically, and that thicker ice allows us to stay out there later.
Hey, what, it's March 2nd down in the south, March 16th and the rest of northern Minnesota, then March 31st for you guys. And then he started talking about fishing on the Rainy River. I know a few of my friends and I have been discussing some spring walleye fishing up on the Rainy River because, Joe, I mean, it seems like, was it last year? Last year, the last couple of years in the spring, the walleye fishing, and last year, the sturgeon fishing was the best spring sturgeon fishing I've been a part of, and I've gone up a few times. And then I didn't get up there for walleyes last spring, but from what I heard from other people is that it was really good.
Yeah, it was. And it's always a timing thing, but I mean, it's a short season anyway, relatively compared to the rest of the whole fishing season. And, you know, our spring season goes through April 14th, and you know, normally that ice opens up sometime in March. And, you know, this year the fishing seasons have been good in the spring. This last fall was a really good fishing season. So I think people are pretty jacked up. The thought is ice could go a little bit quicker this year in the river just because we had so much current in the fall that ice didn't freeze as thick as it normally does. And, you know, we still got a fair amount of current. So with all those things being said, you know, there's a chance that we could be out in boats, you know, sooner than normal.
And I'm going to give people a little insight. I'm going to give them a little spring fishing tip on the Rainy River, because whether you want to catch a big sturgeon or big walleyes, a few years ago, we went up there and we jigged for walleyes. A lot of times just a gold jig, a little bit heavier in that current with a frozen shiner, and we caught fish. But I'll tell you what, when we switched to try to catch sturgeon and we just balled up crawlers and frozen shiners on a big circle hook and dropped it down on the bottom and put the rods in the reel, you know, the rod holders, we ended up catching bigger and more walleyes than we did when we were actually targeting walleyes.
Isn't that something? Well, you know, I know that, so that happens. And I know that, I even think that Brett McComas of Target Walleye, yeah, he had written a little excerpt when he was up there in the spring. Heck, he was up there almost using sturgeon rigs,
yeah,
which is, you know, like a no-roll sinker in a smaller circle hook loaded with crawlers, a glob of crawlers for walleyes, and kind of fishing the current edges, targeting walleyes more so than sturgeon, and did just fine with it. Did very good, in fact, better than his partner did jigging. So, yeah, you know, it's amazing. And but when you think about it, those fish are somewhat lethargic. It's colder water. And, you know, when you put a big glob of bait in front of them and it's just sitting there, you can kind of see why they whack it, especially in stained water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so much scent there. I mean, that's kind of the whole point when you're sturgeon fishing anyways, creating that scent cone. And I'm sure walleyes pick up on that too. And here's the other thing that happened that same year when we were jigging for the walleyes. There were three of us in that boat, and we all had green jigs on. But I was fishing with Jamie Dittman and another guy, and they both had the same color green. And I, you know, some days I'm a believer in certain colors working better than others. Sometimes I feel like just active fish are going to bite. But I'll tell you what, my green jig
was just a little bit of a different color, and it might have been just a little bit of a different looking jig. I can't remember exactly, but they're like, yeah, they were catching them on green jigs. So I pulled a green jig out of my tackle box, and it was just a little bit of a different color, and I couldn't catch a fish to save my life, Joe. And I,
you don't think it was a jigging, do you?
Well, I'm sure it was operator error for sure. But I'll tell you what happened is Jamie finally got sick of watching me get frustrated as he pulled in one fish after another. And he said, hey, I've got another one of these green jigs. And I was being stubborn. I was like, I've got a green jig on, Jamie. I'm doing the same thing you guys are. He's like, okay. And then he'd catch another couple of fish. And finally he's like, here, just take this one. And I swapped him out and I caught three fish. Immediately, I caught three walleyes immediately, and he goes, finally, can we go fish for sturgeon now? So he was just, and it's exactly what it was. It was just that little different color for whatever reason. The fish were just being finicky that day.
Well, and I'll tell you, Jamie's a good fisherman, and he knows nuances, and he can see what's working. And the other thing too is you talk about nuances when you're spring fishing, and I'll just throw a couple ideas out there too. Number one, some people like using plastics, and you can use shiners, frozen shiners. Some people like using plastics. You get those big plastics on there in like a chartreuse or something, and you get those ribs on there, and sometimes that paddle tail. That can cause a little bit of noise. It's a bigger bait. It kind of bulks up a little bit. That can be very effective. The other thing is sometimes using a jig head with like a Whistler jig with a propeller on it, or a jig with a little spinner in the back of it. That adds a little bit of extra noise, a little extra vibration that plays with the walleye's lateral line. And, a lot of people don't realize is that in most cases, especially in stained water, between a walleye's, walleye doesn't have an outer ear and it doesn't have a middle ear. It has an inner ear. And between the frequencies the walleyes can detect in the water, between that inner ear and their lateral line, a lateral line goes down the lateral part of the walleye, down the whole side of it. And that, it's got a combination of little micro hairs along with different cells that are pushed in different directions. So they can detect vibrations in the water. Vibrations in water travel five times faster in water than they do air. So with all those things being said, most walleyes, especially in stained water, will sense and feel their forage before they ever see it. So in that stained water, having a little extra vibration, thumping that bottom with a big jig, maybe having that little extra spinner on there, having a plastic that adds a little noise to it, those can be pretty darn good triggers for walleyes.
Getting excited for spring fishing on the Rainy River, Joe. If people want to book a trip, make some plans, learn a little bit more about fishing at Lake of the Woods, the angle, or the Rainy, where should they go for more info?
Well, you know what? When it starts going out, you can track day by day the open water line on our Facebook page at Lake of the Woods Tourism. So I'd like that. And then secondly, you want to find our information about lodging, where the public access points are, or even how to spring fish, check out our website. And that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba Media, LLC. Find us online at sportingjournalradio.com to listen to past shows, download the podcast, and more. And search for Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook and Instagram for outdoor videos, tips from the experts, and more. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening to Sporting Journal Radio. We'll see you next week.